and all that you've done. Praise God. We appreciate you so, so much. And also, we have just a few announcements. The $25 early birds, what I call it, registration for Kaneo Bible Training ends today. So you can still get this in. This is a $25 registration fee is what this is. And so that's half off, I believe. Is that right? Yeah, half off. And so you can save yourself $25 because they'll, and then it's going to close out. And then I think it opens back up again around July. But you have to pay the full $50 cost. So that's the final call for that, for the Kaneo Bible Ministry. And so I want to remind you of that today. Let's all stand together this morning. Just to give a report, my wife's daddy, Wilbert, has been in the hospital for a few days, and she called this morning. She spent the night with him, and he's coming home today. So we thank you for your prayers. Praise God. Amen. Thank you so much for that. And we appreciate that. Her, last week, Sheila did a great job ministering the word. We listened to her online. Praise God. Glad you were blessed. And what are you doing up here? Okay. All right.
Can you just hold that? All right. Belated birthday wishes for you. And happy anniversary. We greatly love and appreciate you, your Harvest Worship Center family. Your gift card is soon to be here from Hidden Mountain Resorts.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Millie's a sweetheart, isn't she? Yeah. And thank you so much. Amen. And we want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And let me help her down here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and invite his presence and ask him to have his way on this Memorial Day. Let's pray for our veterans. Let's pray for all those families that have lost loved ones and those who have served. Let's bless them this morning in the name of Jesus and believe God to just especially touch them in a special way today. Father, right now, we just thank you that this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God, how thankful we are today for freedom. We're thankful today, Lord, for our nation. We're thankful today, God, that we can come in to this place and worship you. We're thankful today, oh Lord. Thankful for the blood of Christ that has purchased real freedom for us, Father God, and eternal life. Father, we pray today for those military families and those who have served. We pray today for those who have given up, fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and cousins and all family members, Father, down through time. We ask your blessing upon them. We pray today that, Lord, that your peace and comfort would be upon them. We pray, Father God, where there's PTSD, that God, that there would be healing in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, to every single soul, we speak that life of God today over them. Father, in healing by the power of Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Father God, that, Lord, you'll wipe away every traumatic thing, Father God, and let the peace of God rule it. Take over in the name of Jesus. And Father, today we just ask you to come and have your way in this house. We worship you and thank you for all that you're going to do today. Give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And everybody said amen. Give him a praise this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So good to see you this morning, this Memorial Day Sunday. We've come to remember our Lord and our King and to celebrate him this morning also because he's the worthy one. Amen.
He became sin who knew no sin that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. So amazing, love so amazing, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer.
bless you, God. You are the unchanging King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We bless you this morning. Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. Man can do nothing without your touch, without your blessing. And so we just want that this morning, Lord. You know hearts are present. You know every need that's present. We celebrate your great name. You are the victor. You have overcome the world, and therefore we overcome the world through you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you.
Answered prayers back then.
we stand upon, unmovable, unshakable. In this world that is shaken, He is unshaken. Amen. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Did you come expecting this morning? You know, the degree that you put into something is the degree you get out of it. Amen. We just want to dive into you this morning, Lord. We want to dive into you. We want more of you, Lord.
Yes.
More of you, Lord. Can you cry out right now? More of you, Lord. We want more. We want more. So much more, and yet sometimes we just settle. But He's got so much more. He's saying that this morning. There's more. There's so much more. We desire more. We desire more. Lord, I come.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
You are our only hope. We cry out to you, O Lord.
Thank you.
And then you may be seated. Ushers, go ahead and come. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's take our tithe and offering today. We're going to speak God's word together. And I just feel this morning, you know, the power of the tithe is beyond our imagination. It's like God promises. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. There's something that happens in the spirit when you let go of what belongs to God. It's not ours. It's His. The top 10%, right? The cream of the crop, man. It's the cherry on top. It is the deal. Belongs to Him. Through that simple act of obedience to when you tithe, God gave that great promise. But you said you've robbed me in offerings. The thing about an offering is like, and I love this testimony because, and I have many, but this is the one that got me out of poverty. And it doesn't take a whole lot, but you use what you got. And Deborah and I had been to church on a Sunday night, and we came home and flipped on the TV, and Kenneth Copeland was talking about teaching on giving, and he said, you need to give out of your need. And I said, what do you mean give out of your need? I said, I do need. I need it right now. Amen. And so I had like $5 to last a week. And so Deborah and I, we looked at each other and said, well, look, I said, let's try it. Let's try sowing that seed. So we sowed the $5, put it in an envelope, mailed it. And I can tell you truthfully today, I never looked back. Poverty was broken through a $5 bill. We tithed diligently, but we needed. And so there's something about that when you sow seed, and I've learned, man, I've given Lord Jesus. I couldn't tell you. I love to sow seed, love to give. It doesn't matter necessarily what the person does with it. It's your act of obedience when you obey what God does. Amen. And so it's just that simple act of releasing what's in your hand so that God can release what's in His. Now, I know some people, they don't like talking, you know, prosperity gospel or anything else, but I can guarantee you one thing. Not one of you, if you received a check through the mail, would say, I don't want that. Doesn't matter how much, what amount of money you have. Amen. And so I receive the blessing that God gives. Love to sow, learn to sow, because I understand, you know, that act of obedience that night by listening to that word broke the back of poverty. Literally broke it with a $5 bill. Did it hurt to let it go? Shoot, yeah. Even if it was $5, what does that tell you? Man, I can tell so many stories. But I'm telling you, never get discouraged about sowing seed. You've heard me say this down through the years. You should never let an offering plate pass you. If you have to put a piece of paper in by faith and say, Father, next time I'll have a penny, a dollar, a 50-cent piece, or whatever. You should never let an offering plate go by you. Why? Because it's an opportunity to sow. And so every time that you look at that, you think about, what do I need for my tomorrow? What do I need in my future? Because whatever you sow today, God provides for tomorrow. Amen. And it comes back in so many ways. Cast thy bread upon the water, and after many days it shall return unto you again. And so it's good to have God deposit in your account. It's good to have God to bless you. And so that's the way you do. I always tell, it takes two things to make vision happen, money and people. And so you need both to see God work and move in the earth like He wants to. It is the Lord thy God that gives you the power to get wealth. Why? So that He may establish His covenant in the earth. Amen. You think about our nation today on Memorial Day. How many hundreds of billions of dollars have been sent into foreign lands by this nation? Only nation on the face of the earth that when we go to war, we leave them better off in the end than when we came. We never have attacked a nation just for pure profit. Amen. But to deliver and to help and to aid. So God bless America. Amen. Think about the missionaries that have been sent. So everything that you do, God will bless you for it. Let's say it together. Say, Father, I thank you today that as I release the tithe, the heavens are opened for me. Thank you today that as I sow seed, it returns to me again 30, 60, and 100-fold in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship Him this morning in our tithe and offering. I'm excited to be back in the pulpit. I think I have forgot how to preach. It's like, my God. But today I want us to go ahead and turn to James. Let's turn to James chapter number 1. James chapter 1. I want to remind you that in the month of August, Tony Scott is going to be with us. And Tony Scott was probably one of his mentors, was Dr. T.L. Lowry. Met Tony many, many years ago, probably back in the 80s, early 80s, at a conference. And he has pastored a church in Toledo. It's a thriving church. Probably runs around 1,500 or something like that or more. His wife passed away a couple of years ago. And so he does a lot of traveling now and speaking. He's a great man of God, a great preacher of the word, and he's going to be so full when he gets here. And he asked me, says, well, what do you want me to speak on? In his vein is the kingdom of God, the kingdom. And so I said, yes. I said, come and speak on the kingdom. So we're looking forward to having him August the 19th and 20th. And then Roberts Lee Ayrton on September 29 and 30. And then also Perry Stone will be with us October 28th and 29th. So looking forward to the meetings in the future. But I'm looking forward to being here this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're not at the beach. I'm glad you're here. Amen. Let's turn in our Bible to James chapter number 1. And if you would, let's stand again for the reading of the word. God, there are so many scriptures when you think about Memorial Day, because, you know, today is Pentecost Sunday as well. And I probably will speak on Pentecost Sunday next week. And I felt the Lord stir me because when the Holy Spirit comes on me, I just begin to write. And so this morning, this is what he gave me. I told Deborah, this is the title, How Soon We Forget. How soon we forget. And I thought about getting a Kaneo student to get up and tell me something about the tabernacle, something real. I said, all right. I said, have you forgotten already? Or tell me something about Rabbi Jesus. I mean, there's all kinds of things, you know. But how soon we forget. Look at somebody and say, forgetting can be dangerous. Always remember what the Lord says. Amen. That's something we need great diligence to have. So in James chapter number 1, and I'll use several scriptures this morning, but this is the focal point here, and I think this is a great scripture to use today. And it says this, verse 22, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beheldeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgets what manner of a man he was. Now that's bad when you can look in the mirror. But how many understand he's talking about the word? When you look into the mirror of the word. Amen. How many knows what that brazen laver is? It's a mirror. All right? When you look into the mirror, you see yourself. And you judge yourself according to the word of God. You see as God sees. And so when we look into the mirror, we want to remember what we look like. Somebody say amen. So when you see yourself in the mirror of the word of God this morning, what do you look like? You see yourself as a warrior? Do you see yourself as some beaten down, shriveled up, powerless, weak individual? Do you see yourself as a sinner? Do you see yourself as someone that's unprofitable? Because God wants you to see yourself as a mighty son and daughter of God. He really does. That's his desire. Verse 25, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, everybody say continues, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, listen to what he says, that man, everybody say that man, or that woman, shall be blessed in his deeds. Shall be blessed in his deeds. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for your word. And I ask you in the name of Jesus today, Lord, we say we so desperately need you. Holy Spirit, we say we desperately need your touch. Come, come right now. Move upon every heart and every mind. Grant us today the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Help us to be super sensitive to your touch, discerning. We thank you for your precious gifts and anointing. We ask you today, Lord, to just work in the midst of us. Oh, God, on this Memorial Day, let us be stirred up to remember all that you've done for us. We give you praise for it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. You may be seated this morning. Memorial Day, that holiday that we celebrate and observe that honors the dead of the armed forces, has also been called Decoration Day. Now, it originated out of the Civil War, and this is to go back to a little history lesson this morning, when citizens placed flowers on the graves of those who had lost their lives in battle during the Civil War. It was first called Decoration Day because the graves of the fallen were decorated with flowers by the women who went out and saw the graves, and they began to decorate them. And so you think about them doing that. I thought about that scripture, how that he gives beauty for ashes. the oil of joy for mourning, garments of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. How that when you see something that's so horrendous, atrocious, tragic, that you want to do something about it. You feel compassion. You want to do something to cover up the ugly. Because death is ugly. Death has a stench to it. And when you think about the Civil War especially, and so it's held on the last Monday in this month, and 1971, the Congress passed that law, and so glad that they did so that we can honor them. But we also, this morning, it doesn't only stand for those who perished in the Civil War, but also World War I and World War II and Vietnam, the Korean War, the Gulf War, all the different wars that have ever been, all the lives that have been given for the sake of freedom. But this morning, a memorial is considered a tribute, is considered a testimonial. And so when you think about that, I want you to kind of wrap your thoughts around this today, because this is so important, especially when you look back and you understand that in our young nation, during the Civil War, there was between 2-3% of the population that died, either from war or disease or something that happened to them during that time. Between 2-3% of a population is a lot of people. They say somewhere around 650,000, and some estimates as high as 850,000. That is a lot of people. That's a lot of blood. That's a lot of blood. Somebody say amen. And so with all the conflicts, especially during that time, you think it was brother against brother, sister against sister. Could have been mother and father against children. It was a lot of dissension, a lot of division during that time. All the blood that was shed. So certainly no one wants to forget all that took place during the Civil War and all the wars that have ever been. I remember my father telling me the story from, you know, he was in the Korean War, and he was over men, and he telling me the story. He said how that, you know, that the shells were falling and people were dying, and he said that there was this this man that got shelled, and said he saw him when he went down, and he ran into the line of fire and went out and picked this individual up and brought them back to safety. But when they got there, they didn't live but just a few moments. But you think about how that innate thing that God deposited on the inside of us to want to rescue, want to save, want to deliver, it just springs into action and leaps out. And so today there's a lot of people that have done things like that. We call them heroes. Heroes. But no matter how you look at war, it's bad. Somebody say, it is bad. It is bad. When you hear a statement like, this day will go down as a day of infamy. I remember on 9/11 when I was sitting in the beauty parlor with my wife as she was getting her hair done. And all of a sudden on the TV, boom, this thing began to happen. It's like I couldn't believe what I was seeing with my eyes. And I remember one of the reporters said, this will go down in history as a day of infamy. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, I said, that word infamy, I said, there's so much meaning that's lost when you just say that one word. Because literally, it is known as something of a bad quality. It's known as something that is just a bad deed, something ugly that's happened, or something wicked or evil that's taken place. So when you think about that, it's really history's greatest horrors when you talk about a day of infamy. And so after those 9/11 attacks, every one of us, you know, that's so fresh in our minds and in our hearts. You know, we think about the thousands of people that perished during that time, that war on terror. And so one of the things that was said during that time, on September 11th, President George Bush declared that terrorism would never again, everybody say never again, be allowed to triumph. So he referenced a phrase when defending the trial of non-citizens in military courts for terrorism-related offenses and mass surveillance policies that were adapted by the United States administration. And so Bush commented, foreign terrorism and agents must never again be allowed to use, listen, our freedoms against us. My God, I could preach right there for about 2 or 3 hours because that's a spiritual force. A lot of people in Christianity have freedoms that the enemy uses against them. If you understand what I'm saying. But with George Bush, his words echoed a speech that his father had given after winning the Gulf War. And he said, never again will we be held hostage to the darker side of the human nature. Wow, what a statement. Then I was wondering, who wrote that for him? Where did he get that? Because I understand that the first use of this phrase, never again, is in the context of the Holocaust, where 6 million Jews died. If you've ever been to Israel and been to the Holocaust Museum, that's one of their big phrases, never again. Never again will this happen. Because they remember. It's in their mind. They want to pass that on to their children. They want to make sure that they deposit that in the lives of their kids. You think about the political prisoners, the Jewish survivors. They invoke that term, never again, as part of their fight against fascism. And so even now, we see that today. People hate Jews. They hate Jewish people. Why? Why? Somebody said, because it's a demonic force. It's a demonic force. So there's much to be said about the power of memorials when we think about these things. That whole Holocaust Museum is literally a memorial. And if you ever have the opportunity to go through that, you should. It's literally will leave you breathless. And I mean that in a sense that you leave with this feeling on the inside, how horrible, horrific that was. Because war is a terrible thing. Amen. So memorials are those tributes, testimonials, and most of all, remembrance. Everybody say this with me. Say, remembrance. Remembrance. So we must never forget the price that has been paid for what you and I enjoy today. I can't forget this. We must never forget the cost that's been involved. I would say literally, probably, that you know someone that has been touched by war, lost a son, lost a daughter, a mother, a father, a cousin, or somebody that's been touched in a war in some way or the other. So we must never forget the message of freedom, especially what Memorial Day is all about. So it's good to remember. Why is it good to remember? Because I understand that there's an adversary out there somewhere that literally wants to come and kill me. Paul said it like this. Peter said it like this. Your adversary, the devil, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The Apostle Paul said, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's a demonic force that wants to come and destroy you because of the freedoms that you have and enjoy in this life. Anytime when you think about freedom, you have to go to the ultimate freedom fighter, God. Because he's the one that sent his son to liberate us from the bondage of sin and death. Somebody, yeah, that's a good place to praise him this morning. And so we can never forget the message of Memorial Day. And we must never forget today that these are real people that died. They're not just photographs. It's not just a Life magazine, if anybody remembers what that is, or going online and looking at pictures of something that happened or see the Twin Towers and their rubbles. And you think about what happened in Uganda, the genocides that have taken place throughout those countries. Millions of people have died all because somebody hated them. Did you know this morning, no matter how good you are, you're still going to have an adversary and somebody is not going to like you? Doesn't matter who you are, how tall you are, how handsome you are, how beautiful that you are, how ugly that you are. Because the devil is going to see to it, your adversary is going to see to it that he can do something to try to come against you and destroy you. Somebody say, thank God for Jesus. I know that years ago when my father took me to Arlington Cemetery, and there was a sea of white crosses that were there. Even as a young boy, my dad was telling me, he was talking about war, because he wanted to instill in me the cost of what it took, you know, for us to have our freedoms that we enjoy. And so that was the place of choice that he carried me to. He said, you see all these crosses? Because it's quite awe-striking to stand there. But I can tell you, it was hard for my mind to comprehend then. And I would say the same thing today, that any of us that have ever seen a sea of crosses, or we drive down the road and see a memorial or a placard, even in Patrick County, I think it's a shame. And by the way, maybe this will get out for our placard down on our county line to be rusted. Come on, that tells you that somebody is not remembering. But when you see a placard or a statue, when you ride uptown and you see that statue of Jeb Stuart, or when you travel throughout Virginia especially, and you see all the memorials that there are, why are they there? Because they wanted to strike something in your heart that you would take the time to not just see it and say, oh, look, there's a statue, or look, there's a placard, but that you would take the time to read it and think about what happened there. Somebody gave their life so that you could ride that car down the road. You could live in that house. You could be in this house this morning and sit in the presence of God. And so I need to remember that. Somebody say, I need to remember it. I need to take the time to read that plaque. I need to take the time to read that little placard at the bottom of that statue, or what it stood for. See, because we're living in a cancel culture that wants to cancel everything. See, Iran would like to tell you today that the Holocaust never happened. And you know what? They've been successful to a certain extent. Why? Because the devil hates freedom. He's the author of bondage. God's the author of love. The devil's the author of hate. And so anything that the enemy can do to put you in bondage, he will afflict you with it. Come against you if you're an open vessel for something like that to be poured into. But see, those things are there for a reason. They provoke your mind. They are to provoke us to something that took place there. The people that put the placards up or the statues up, they put a value on their freedoms. All right? So I want to be provoked to change. I want to be provoked to make the world a better place. Do you? I want to be provoked to take a stand against all the immorality, against the godlessness. I know yesterday I was just flipping through the reels. How many ever flipped through the reels on the... And I'm like, my God. I mean, I just don't do this stuff. I was sitting there and so I was like flipping. I said, okay, I've had 30 minutes of this. And so I sat there for 45 minutes, and I was flipping through this, and I'm like, these people are foaming at the mouth with hatred toward God, say they don't believe in God, and you know that Jesus is nothing and all this other stuff, but never one time that I hear anybody get up and say, look, the reason that Jesus is important is because he is the Son of God. And that it took his sinless, spotless blood to be shed for you. You may not can wrap your mind around it, and really it doesn't matter whether you wrap your mind around it or not, but it's important for you to understand that the only sacrifice that could take away the sin of the world was sinless, spotless blood, and it had to come from God himself. Amen. Amen. And it's just like, you know, one man was saying, he said, well, you know, if Jesus is God, who was God while he was dead? Because Jesus said, I go to your God and my God. He had a father. Somebody say amen. Let me get off that soapbox. But I was looking and said, God, no wonder people are confused. But I want to remember this morning. Remember this morning. Let's think just for a moment now. The reason I'm depositing this in your heart today is so that you'll be more readily to fight for your freedom that you have in Jesus. All right? Freedom fighters. Everybody say freedom fighters. I think this needs to be maybe, you remember, everybody remember Flight 93 that went down in Pennsylvania? Todd Beamer, he was on the plane, one of those 43 people that perished. And he got on the phone and he talked to his wife. He said, look, I don't know whether we're going to make it or not. I just want to call you and let you know that I love you. And so he got off the phone and he looked at the people that were with him and he said, let's roll. And so they rose up. And so instead of that, if you read the placard on that, it was because they probably saved the Capitol building from having that plane flown into it and destroyed. And many lives destroyed. All because they took a stand. Now that's real freedom fighters. Amen. Fighting for freedom. They refused to allow the enemy to be able to do what he wanted to do. Somebody say glory to God. So today there's a memorial in the Capitol building, a placard that you could go and you read about them. It has all the names listed of the people that perished in the flight. Those things are for purpose, for a reason. When I ride down 220, when I ride down 58, when I'm on riding down any of the roads, sometimes you'll see a cross that somebody has placed there. This past week, I went by crosses that I've seen that have been there for several years, and they had fresh flowers around them because somebody, a loved one, perished in an automobile accident on that road. You go to the cemeteries, fresh flowers everywhere because people remember. And my wife is so good because she buys the flowers, and we'll go to my mom and dad's grave, her parents' grave, her brother's grave, and my brother's grave, and we will place new flowers around those graves. Why? But to remember them. To remember them. And so we ask ourselves the question this morning. Did God give memorials? Yes. Somebody say yes. Amen. Lord, I have all kinds of different directions that I can go today. I want to look at Exodus chapter number 13, and I'm going to read this to you. And Moses said unto the people, remember, everybody say remember. Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out of the month Abib, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. So God is telling them, keep a memorial, right? Practice it. So you can remember that I brought you out of Egypt, bondage. Everybody say bondage, Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. So God is telling them every year, you're going to keep this ordinance. You're going to celebrate this. You're going to know this. Your children are going to celebrate it. It's going to keep on perpetually. Amen? So this was done perpetually as a memorial to the Lord so that they would never forget what God had done for them. Amen? So I want to fast forward this morning and go forward, you know, through the wilderness wanderings, through the death of Moses, where they're coming in to enter into the promised land. And so you have to remember now that they had been practicing for 40 years. Remember the previous generation that got ready to go into the 12 spies had been sent, and they came back and 10 had an evil report. Caleb and Joshua stood up and said, oh, wait a minute. It's just like God said, and we can truly take this land. But the 10 prevailed and caused all of Israel to murmur and complain and enter into unbelief, and it angered God. And so God swore, you will not enter into my rest. And so they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Now, you got to understand that now when this next generation comes in and Moses has passed off of the scene, that it's been ingrained in them. Because every time that they walk in that circle and go through that cycle, they probably have said something like, I've been this way before. I recognize that rock. I recognize that palm tree. I recognize that stump over there, and that weed that's sticking up out of the ground. I mean, actually, when you're wandering through the wilderness and you're going through things that are there, the wilderness is never a pleasant place to be. Cold, frigid nights, hot, grilling days. Adversaries of all sorts. And so now that they're coming into the promised land, God is telling them, I want you to remember, my friend, I'm going to tell you what, when you go through hell in this earth, it's not hard to forget. Come on. It's not hard to forget. Yet, on the other hand, we do. Time has a way of erasing from our memories the pain of yesterday. I used to work for some Jewish people, and this is one of their favorite stories. Time tells all things. Time will tell. That's what they would always say. Time will tell all things. Time will tell. And so it is. These people have been wandering for 40 years, but you know what? What they're getting ready to experience in the land that they're getting ready to enter is a promise from God. Time is going to tell how they make it, how they thrive, whether they are continuously victorious or not, and whether they continue to triumph over all of their adversaries or not, and do exactly what God said or receive exactly what God said that they could receive. But it's not hard and far to read in your Bible when you come to Judges chapter 2, verse number 10, when it said, in all that generation that came through that wilderness and experienced all of those things, saw those miracles. When they had died, the Bible said, there rose another generation that knew not the Lord, neither walked in his ways, did not keep his commandments. Why? Because when time passed and as years went forward, that pain of yesterday and the things that their parents went through and their great-grandparents may have went through, you see, those things died along with them and became dust in their past. And so it's a warning to the future generations and generations to come. Look, you're going to have to fight your own battles and your own wars, but it will do you good to remember. Never forget the victories that God gave and the price that was paid for you to have the freedom that you have right now. You see, America stays victorious today and powerful because she has mighty strength. But that strength is waning. Does anybody recognize that? We are not the superpower now that we once were. Even though we have great ability and we are still feared as far as military might is concerned and our nuclear arsenals are concerned. But I'm going to tell you, our strength is not in military might. Our strength is in the believers that gather together on a Sunday morning in a house of worship and pray to the one true living God. Our strength comes from the Christ that we know and the seed that we've sown in foreign soils to where there are literally hundreds of thousands of millions of Christians, underground churches in China, underground churches in Iran, underground churches in Russia, and underground churches everywhere in places where Christians are literally hated. But remember today, they're praying for the United States of America to remain strong because they know that if we fall, all hell will break out all over the world. We are the bastion of hope, but it's because we have faith in the one true God. And I will not relax my grip on my God. I will be in prayer meeting. I will read my Bible. I will preach the truth. I will stand for what's right. And I will say, hey, I'm not giving in or caving into the culture of the times that we live in. I'm going to enjoy my freedom. And no devil is going to take it from me. Amen. And so in Joshua chapter 1, we read these words. Moses, my servant, is dead. Because everybody been looking to Moses. Joshua is the man that's next in line, but he'd been prepared for this moment in his life. Israel had been prepared for this moment. She felt inadequate. I don't know whether I'm ready to face this or not. I have no idea because I know what those enemies are like. And we had a mighty man of God in Moses, but he has passed off the scene. And Joshua, we know that he's a great warrior, but we're just not really sure what's going to be taking place. See, all the walk and all the talk was over. It's now time to produce. Can I tell you that right now, in 2023, on a Memorial Day, that I'm telling you that the talk and the walk is over. It's time to become producers of the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus. Come on. We've got to get out of our houses and go into the streets. We've got to be voices on the internet. We have to be voices at Walmart. We have to be people that voice our faith and be strong and not be muzzled. We just spent several years being muzzled. The devil tried to muzzle the church and tried to keep it within four walls, but he found out that there were some people that had a breakout anointing and a breakthrough anointing that said, hey, I'm not going to be muzzled by you, devil, and I'm not going to be silenced by wearing some mask. Come on, somebody, but I am going to be a voice. You know, when I see a mask, and I want you to understand me this morning, if you wear one, I'm not condemning you, but I see fear. I don't fear tomorrow. I don't fear my future. I don't fear death. Jesus has already conquered that. And if I die, I'm going straight into the presence of the Lord. That's all that matters. We need to shed our fears, come on, because fear will cause you to cave in to culture. Fear will cause you to cave in to people's rhetoric, and they're really lying to you. But it was now time for action. So God's promise to Joshua was this: as I was with my servant Moses, so will I be with you. Man, those words echo to me from the mouth of Jesus. Does anybody hear what I'm saying this morning? What do you mean, Pastor? As the Father has sent me, I am going to send you. My Father is with me. The Holy Spirit is upon me, and I'm sending you the same way. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm going with you all the way, even to the end of the world. And I can guarantee you this one thing. I'm going to be with you in the heat of the battle, in that moment when it looks like hell is going to implode and take over stuff. He says, no, that's not going to happen. I am with you, and you are going to prevail. Somebody say, be with me, Jesus. Be with me, Jesus. He said this: be strong and be of a good courage. God's promise to you is every place the sole of your foot shall tread, I will give it to you. Man, I thought about those words. How that we need to walk up in the middle of whatever the devil's doing and plant the cross. Come on. We need to walk up right in the middle of the internet where all this confusion is taking place and people are screaming at each other and preaching false doctrine, and everybody wants to have these cute little quirky sayings. I'm like, dude, you're not going to impress the devil. He's heard it all. The wisest man that ever lived, Solomon. I don't think we're going to cap anything that he said. Jesus, the wiser than a Solomon came. You can't get any wiser than to speak what Jesus said. You may say it in a great way. You may be able to spit it out in terminology, and people may not ever understand what you say, but they may walk away saying, wow, man, I've never heard nothing like that. Well, in promulgating the esoteric cogitations of your platitudes and similarities, you know, how about me spitting out a few things to you this morning? See, it's not in your rhetoric, but it's what you can produce. And see, what we've learned to produce in the body of Christ most of the time is aborting something that God wants to do. Or the fear of letting go of my life and placing it in his hands and saying, Jesus, if you can take anything that's here and use it, then use it. Remember this, if he took dust out of the earth and made a man out of it and anointed him and caused him to be smart enough to name all the animals, come on, somebody. He can certainly take your dust or your mess and touch your life and make something out of you. And so he wants you to know this morning, be strong and be of a good courage. Every place the sole of your feet shall tread, God has given it unto you. Listen, no man and no woman, no Jezebel, no Absalom, no Korah shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Don't deviate from my truth. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Walk in the way. See, this is what we need right now more than anything else, is to understand that I've got to walk in this, whether the world believes it or not. Because I got enough sense to know that that power of darkness is going to fight the truth with everything that it has. Right now, this demonic deception is trying to convince a generation there is no God. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. I can tell you that lie has been around since the garden. Karl Barth, the great theologian, said it's not truth until it becomes truth to me. I can tell you, it's truth whether it becomes truth to me or not. It's his truth. Jesus stood before Pilate. Pilate said, what is truth? Jesus said, I'm the truth. You're looking at truth. Jesus is the truth. Somebody say, he is the truth. He is the truth. And you can bank on whatever God says is going to come to pass. Listen, he tells him, he said, this is how you stay in victory. Meditate on my word day and night. Everybody say meditate. The word meditate comes from the Aramaic or Hebrew, and it means to mutter to yourself. Say it out loud to yourself. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Come on. He prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. He is greater in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. This is my hour. This is your hour. Now listen. So you, God says, are going to make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success as you stay in the word. Wow. So Joshua, now you think about this. Here he comes. He's been here before. First time it didn't go good. Somebody say the first time it didn't go good. Remember those 12 spies? He was right in there, but he was one of the ones that had faith. That's the reason he was alive. Because all the other generation had passed away. That was God's promise. They passed away. Joshua and Caleb, still alive. Now think. He's come this way before. He walks up the Jordan. There it is. God's ready for them to pass over the Jordan. The Jordan is swollen out of its banks. It's really deep. It's bad. I mean, you would think, my God, after I've traveled 40 years and I finally get here, I got this big fat river standing in my way. His heart is pounding and he's thinking, I've been here before, man. You know, because have you ever been in a place before where you felt defeated the first time and you get the opportunity to come up against it again, and there you stand and you're thinking to yourself, what's it going to be this time? Am I going to be defeated or am I going to be victorious? See, it's all in your faith and what you believe. I'm just telling you that right now. If you can see yourself as a conqueror, and if you can see yourself as an overcomer, and you can see yourself as Jesus going before you, prevailing on your behalf, and have already given you the promise that you're going to make it across to the other side. Somebody say amen. So he's standing there. His heart is pounding in his chest. So what does he do? He knows he's that I got to do something. He sends two spies. They go into the land. They see the land is exactly what God said, and they're recognized to be part of the Israelite camp. And so they were trying to find them so that they can put those spies to death. But there's a little lady by the name of Rahab the harlot that houses them and hides them under stalks and puts them there and then allows them to escape. And they finally get back. And when they come, these spies say, it's exactly like you said, and I can tell you right now, we heard this while we were there. And this is what they said. They said that their hearts melted within them when they heard that we were coming, because they heard about our God who had dried up the Red Sea and we come across on dry ground. They said they heard about how God had defeated the kings of the Amorites, and they know that they're next on the slate, and they have no spirit left in them to fight any longer. Now, my God, I don't know about you, but that would have made my chest stick out about 40 feet, and I said, bless God, let's go now. But they didn't go now. So what happened? The Bible said that they took them and they said, all the men have got to be circumcised. Why? Because these had not yet been circumcised and made sons of Abraham, because they had been traveling through the wilderness now for 40 years. They had to come into covenant. Listen, if you're going to go into battle, it's important for you to be in covenant with God. Why? Because if you understand covenant, everything that's his belongs to me, and everything that's mine belongs to him. And I can tell you right now, if I'm going to fight demons and devils, I don't want what belongs to me. I want what belongs to him, because he has an angelic host that he can slaughter the powers of hell with. I want to make sure that I'm backed up by the God of heaven, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, and the arsenal that he has. So that when I go, I want my adversary's heart to melt within him. And I love this. And so the Bible said that they were circumcised, made sons of Abraham. And so the Bible says, and I want to read this to you in Joshua chapter number 4, the children of Israel are up against the Jordan River, and this is what it says. The children of Israel cross on dry ground, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And I'm going to stop right there because I don't want to get ahead of myself right here. Because when they come up, Joshua says, he said, look, I want the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant and I want them to step into the Jordan. Listen, when they put their feet into the brim of the river, the Bible said that the river stood up on a heap. Do you understand? When supernatural collides with the natural, that the natural has to give place to the supernatural? See, what I'm telling you, it's not what belongs to me that's going to cause my battle to be won. It's what belongs to him that's going to bring me the victory. It's not when my adversary sees me that his heart faints. It's when he sees who's backing me up that his heart faints. And so when the enemy, and understand this, when their feet touch the brim of the river, it stands up on heaps. And the Bible said that it backed up all the way to the city of Adam. 15 miles that water stood up. And the Bible said that they walked across on dry ground. And then Joshua, inspired by the Holy Spirit, was moved. He said, I want you to appoint 12 men to come and get stones out of the middle of this river. And said, I want one stone from every tribe. And they took those stones and they carried them out. And then the Bible said, we're going to read this. Those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. Everybody say Gilgal. Man, this is so good. This is so good. Gilgal means a rolling away of something which oppressed you. It means a rolling away of the slavery and the bondage that you've been under. Hello, somebody. Now listen, it means a rolling away and a getting rid of past hurts. Because he said something's getting ready to change for you. That's the reason you're going to plant these stones in Gilgal. Hello, somebody. Because Gilgal is the place of the cross. It's the place of death. It's the place of resurrection. He said, and when your children see these stones, and they're going to say, Mama, Daddy, what are those rocks? Oh, let me tell you. This is the day that we came up to the Jordan River ready to go in and possess the land. Joshua had sent 2 spies and they came back and they said that the heart of the enemy had melted, that they had no spirit. And Joshua didn't go in readily, but he had all the males circumcised and to be made sons of Abraham so that we'd be in covenant with the one true God. He said, and then he commanded the priest to take that Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, and to step into that Jordan. And it was swollen out of its banks so that nobody could swim across it or just cross it because it would sweep them away. He said, but the moment that that priest's big toe hit that water, it stopped and stood up. I'm going to tell you right now, honey, when the presence of God hits a devil, you're going to see that devil stand up and take attention too. I want to tell you this morning, when the presence of the Lord meets your foe, that enemy is going to back up. That obstacle, that circumstance, that situation is going to stand up and it's going to be pushed back. Come on now. What is that symbolic of? Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. Remember that? Fell out of covenant with God. And what did God do? He said, look, you're crossing over into new territory. You are already in covenant with me through your father Abraham. He said, you are now sons of the living God. And I can say this to you. The waters of sin are going to be backed up in your life all the way to where Adam was. And you're going to be mine. So that when you walk in, you're going to walk in victorious and you're going to defeat your adversaries. Come on, somebody. It's a good place to praise him. Listen to what he says. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? And then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came out of this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth, listen, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. Come on, somebody.
That is the mighty. That is the mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Come on, somebody. Oh, I love that. Whew, Lord Jesus. And see, this is God saying this morning, see, Gilgal is symbolic of staying in a circle. It's religion without power. It's a form. But it's also a place that God wants you to know the circle is, this cycle is going to be broken. This thing is coming to an end today. Your reproach is being rolled away. Amen. Your bondage will never again be a part of your life. You're walking out in absolute total freedom. And so he's wanting them to remember, especially your children. And so that's why it's important to not, when we go on a vacation, to remember. My dad was so good, man. He chose all the historical part. Monticello, I mean, Washington's birthplace. I mean, you name it, man, Jamestown. I mean, we went to all of them. My dad was a big history buff. Loved to go right there where it was. And so we'd stand there, and he'd read the placards. And I'd standing there listening. And then when you get to be like 12 years old, you're thinking, hey, Dad, can't we go somewhere else? But see, I'm telling you this today because I remember. But there was a part of me that was anxious and wanted to get out and go on vacation. But there was another part of me that said, man, these guys, they knew how to fight. They knew how to stand. They knew what freedom was all about. Lives were given. The cost was great. He did not want me to forget. That's part of what makes me like I am today. Because I don't want you to forget either. I said, I don't want you to forget either. I have failed to find one foreign person in the United States of America that said, I hate this nation. Why are they wanting to come in by the millions? And you know, I was thinking about this open border thing, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, he said, that's all right. He said, because they're bringing in, they're getting a harvest ready for me to reap. He said, let them come across the borders. He said, because it's going to backfire and they're going to vote for somebody that you want to be voted for, and they're going to vote them in office. Come on now, somebody. We met a little woman the other day as we were down on the coast, and she said this, and she had moved there from New Jersey, and she came in. She said, oh, man, she said, let me tell you this right here. He said, when these foreign people move in, he said, we tell them, don't you dare vote Democrat, because if you do, they'll forget you and move you out of here. But you vote Republican, and they're gonna be a blessing to you. And she said, they believe it. Well, I'm telling you right now, you better believe it, because they'll be the ones that treat you right. Come on, somebody. Yeah, there's evil in every camp, but what I'm telling you today is that we have to remember the price of freedom. Yes. And see, our God, everybody say, our God, he will bring you to your Gilgal. And you will have to take the stones of remembrance and heap them up in your family and in your own life for your own self to look at and for your children to see. Listen, your children may be hellions right now. Oh, but there'll come a time. I said, there'll come a time. I said, there'll come a turning. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I'm sure that when my dad used to come in my bedroom on a Sunday morning and grab me by the foot and drag me out of bed and say, hey, boy, it's time to go to church, and I'd run off. I'd get in my car and leave. Crank that Mustang up and get on up the road. Mm-hmm. But there came a time that everything that he had told me caused me to get down in that bedroom floor when I was wanting to die and say, Jesus, you got me now. And it's been good ever since. And see, that's the thing about the memorials, the testimonials. It's because I knew what God had done for my daddy. And now I can tell you what God's done for me. I won't take the time to do that right now. It takes all day. But what I'm telling you this for is that you put stones of remembrance in your life. Stones of remembrance. Where God answered your prayer. Where you got born again. When your life was literally changed. When you needed a miracle and got one. When you needed healing and Jesus healed your body. When you needed financial breakthrough and God took a $5 bill and broke the back of poverty. Amen. Lord have mercy. Memorials. See, I learned through my dad. Whatever I asked my dad for, sometimes he'd say, boy, he said, you're going to have to work for this. And I would. I worked like an Egyptian slave. Some of you get that later. You're going to have to work, boy. You have to work. And so I knew what it was to work for something and own it. And so that was so important to me because that was a rock of remembrance. It helped me to relate to my Father in heaven. To understand, if I'm expecting him to do something, then he's expecting me to walk in obedience. Amen. We read about that right at the beginning about Joshua. Jesus requires the same thing about faith and obedience. And so I learned that through my father. But there were times, now listen, I always loved these times when dad would pay the ticket. I'm not talking about speeding ticket either. If you got a ticket, you're going to pay that ticket. Matter of fact, you better not even let him know you got one. But there were times that daddy would do something, didn't cost you nothing. He just wanted to bless you, just wanted to do something for you. That's the way God is. Amen? God does things for us sometimes. It's freebie. It's a freebie. Salvation is a freebie. But then there are things that God does for us that just like, you know, because you know what? God remembers when you sacrifice and when you give and when you do those things. God remembers. And so then you think that you're going to have to, oh, I'm in a panic. What am I going to do? And all of a sudden, God just, you say, how'd that happen? And God said, I did it. I did it. I did it because I love you. I did it just because I wanted to. And see, that's that side of God we want to see happen every day. And he does. He loves us everything that we do. He loves us. And so today he wants us to remember, have testimonials, tributes that we can praise God with. Amen. It's like you can go to Bible book, you can go to Honey Pot on the Main and get you a placard that says, I'm blessed. Amen. Because you are highly favored. I'm blessed and highly favored. Mi casa es su casa. But see, that's what Memorial Day is all about, is that we remember. Got to put the stones of remembrance up and remember those things. And so I want us to stand together this morning. Jennifer, if you please come on up. Jesus wants us to remember. Everybody say, Jesus wants us to remember. Remember the night that he was betrayed. He took the bread and the cup and he said, what? Do this in remembrance of me. So that we would remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He has set us free from the house of bondage. He's delivered us from Egypt and slavery. He has brought us into new life. And he wants you to take that rock of remembrance of your salvation and of times of need that he came through. And any time that in the future, see, this is why you got to keep remembering, keep saying it, is that you do not forget. How soon we forget is that you don't forget and fall out with God, fall into him. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you right now. Power. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your goodness and grace, Lord Jesus. And I ask you right now to come and move in hearts and lives, Lord, today by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be a people that remember. To remember, a people that are thankful, that are grateful, God, for all that you have done. Holy Spirit, I believe today that there are some people here that have forgotten some of the things that you've done for them. And Lord, I pray right now that God, Lord, I believe that today that these things have been stirred up and they begin to remember hey, your victory and your triumph and your future is tied to you being able to remember how God brought you through the past so that he can carry you into your tomorrow. He doesn't want you to be faint-hearted and discouraged. He wants you to be of a good courage and understand that your God has got it covered. He's going to carry you through. You will possess the promise in Jesus' name. You will possess the promise in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just love on him right now for a few moments. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. This young man right back here in the camouflage, what's your name? Pete? Ben? Ben. I really feel like the Lord wants me to say to you this morning that you're not a half of a person, that all of heaven's attention is upon your life. God has a special plan for you, because you have a special purpose. And God said, you're more than whole. He said, and you are very important. And he said, if you will commit yourself to him, listen, every day of your life, just commit yourself to him. Read the Bible. That didn't mean you had to read the whole thing. Just read some scriptures. And that if you will take the time to do that and just say, Lord, have your way in my life. Just that simple. If you'll do that every day, God is going to meet you, and there's going to be some things that begin to happen with you that are extraordinary. Extraordinary. But he says all of heaven's attention is upon you. You have a very special purpose in life that God has called you to. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for Ben right now. And I ask you to touch his life, Lord God in heaven, and bring to pass those things that, Lord, that the Spirit of the Lord has spoken this morning. We just ask you right now, let the special grace of heaven rest upon his life. Father God, let it rest upon him. And Lord, we take authority over every work of the adversary. We cancel it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we loose the power and presence of God to work in his life, Lord. We just thank you for Ben and what you've chosen him to do. And Father God, we give you thanks for it. And everybody said amen. Somebody praise the Lord this morning for that. Amen. Amen. Special purpose. Special purpose in Jesus' name. A special purpose in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Does anybody need prayer this morning? You need a healing touch for your body? You need special prayer? We want to pray today for you. Amen. Just come on down. We're going to believe God. We're going to believe God. ask you to heal her in her body. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we cancel every work of the adversary and rebuke that infirmity in Jesus' name. Lord, we say to her, be healed in the name of Jesus right now. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for sending healing angels to minister to her. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This morning for Leslie's mother, she needs a healing touch, and let's believe God to get stretched forth your hand. Just pray. going to pray for Wilbert. They decided they're going to keep him another day. And so we want to pray for him. They said that when his blood pressure came down, it came down too fast because it was like 213, then it came down to 157, and then it came down to kind of even below that. And so, but anyway, it did something to mess with his kidney. So let's pray for him right now. Father, we lift up Wilbert before you right now. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for touching him. Lord, we command that blood pressure in Jesus' name. You're a liar, devil. You're going to lose him. You're going to let him go in Jesus' name. Father, we send the healing word. You sent your word and heal them. Lord, you sent that word and heal Wilbert. Father, we thank you for it right now. We command that blood pressure to be normal. And Father, for that kidney to be normal in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, there's those meds that have caused this to be balanced out. And Father, we give you thanks right now in the name of Jesus for making him whole. Amen and amen. So today, go get you some stones of remembrance and put them up. Go out in your flower garden. Stack something up in Jesus' name and say, God did this for me. And remember it. Somebody say, remember it. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he turn his countenance toward you, lift his face to you, be gracious to you, and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.